Welcome to Love Radio. And welcome to the Mary Blake Show, a special place where the people that usually talk to you and answer your questions have a chance to speak for about themselves. How did psychics and healers and seers come to be? And what is all about it? And why do they go through the many, many things that they do? Today, we're featuring Ada Marie, a seer since birth. And she reveals her introduction to the wisdom and special traits that set seers apart from psychics. The deep mysteries, the training, and the responsibilities are rarely understood by the very people who need them most. Known for years as the Golden Oracle, Ada Marie has devoted her life to the many facets of life a spirit is chosen to deal with. She's truly a remarkable, gifted, and caring being. And Ada Marie, welcome to the show. Hi there.
Hi. I have a surprise for you. I received a message for you that I'm quite excited about, Mary.
Oh, my.
It's amazing. There is an opportunity coming within this new month of March that is going to be extremely beneficial to you, not only financially, but also in the work you do. There will be many calls and many opportunities here. So check carefully. I was so excited. I just received this message about 3:30 this morning, and I got up and wrote it down. I've been waiting this whole morning to be able to tell you.
Oh, that's an unexpected pleasure. And thank you so much. I'm just honored and I feel wonderful about that surprise you had for me.
I usually don't get up until 4 a.m., but I got up because I wanted to write it down and not forget to tell you. And then my husband said to me about 30 minutes ago, "Don't you have a show today? I was so busy cleaning house, I almost forgot." But, you know, so here I am, and there you are, and I'm pretty happy about that.
Wonderful. Oh, thank you so very much. What a wonderful way to start off the show. Well, we again, here I just wound up saying that this show is devoted to you, and you throw it right back to me. That's what happens when you deal with people who work with spirit. You never know what's going to come up next.
And you know, you have to honor spirit, because if it gives you a message for someone, like many times when people call and I don't get the message or I can't reach the person they're trying to reach on the other side, I tell them when I will call them back if I get that message. And many times I don't get it, but once in a while I do get it and I call them back and they're always shocked at me. But I can't answer, just like you. I can't answer if I don't get an answer. So
they don't have any clocks over there.
No, they don't. They run on a totally different system than we do. But it's really interesting. Someone asked this question, Mary, and you too have had this question. Why do you send healing? Why do you send healing? I said, well, actually, you're only the battery that is used to send the healing out from you. Actually, the God, the healing comes directly from God, from that energy, and then you send it to whomever it goes to. But when you do that, you also receive back a healing for yourself. Whatever kind of a healing it is that you may have need of, whether it's your health, whether it's your children, whether it's money, no matter what it is, that energy is returned to you through the healings that you send out to others, whatever they have called for. And I get a lot of calls for healing, especially when people are going to a hospital. And I really want to share this with everybody, Mary, because this is important. If you have a friend or a relative that is going to the hospital for a surgery or any kind of a procedure, wrap mm-hmm. them in purple. Wrap the doctor in purple, his instruments in purple, the nurses in purple, everything in purple, and start several hours ahead of the surgery. I want you to know that because I got three calls this week that asked me that very question. Why do you do that? Purple is divine light.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's it. Purple is divine light. And,
okay.
and when you're using that, I do know two doctors who wear purple smocks in the surgery, and they've been having wonderful successes with it. So I want you to know that it does work, and I've had people call and tell me that. And one doctor told me, he said, that was a very difficult surgery, and I've never had it go that easy in all my years of work. So,
you know, I had a friend who was having brain surgery, and I told him, when you get on the operating table, tell the doctors and the anesthesiologists that you are convinced that this is going to be the most perfect surgery that they've ever conducted in their lives.
And it was.
And 3 hours later, the anesthesiologist came into the recovery room where he was, and he said, this was a textbook case perfect surgery. I have never been in any surgery that went so well and so perfectly.
Well, see, it works. It's just a matter of knowing, not believing, not wishing, not wanting, not thinking, knowing that works. That there's the clue. It's the knowing. When somebody sends me a healing, and people do that, I absorb it like a sponge. I absorb it like a sponge. I don't hesitate. I just absorb it.
And absolutely.
And that's what all people should do. Someone goes, I said, I know you.
So.
Yeah. And I absorbed it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful. So, that being said, I'm really happy today that I got that message for you and that you were identify it when it comes in, and it will come in shortly.
Wonderful.
Yeah, within the week you'll be aware that you have that opportunity. So that's a good thing.
That is a good thing.
Yeah. So what are you up to today, Miss Mary?
Well, I'm just thinking that when people seek us out, they are so involved with the questions that they have to ask that it's almost as if they later on they kind of wish they had tried to find out a little bit more about us. So I was thinking that this show would be a wonderful opportunity for other people to understand how we come to be and how we choose and why we're doing the work that we're doing, that we could probably get paid a whole lot more and have a lot less aggravation if we did something else. But that was my thought of this whole thing, and I know that you were trained almost from birth. And this doesn't really very often happen these days. Could you tell us a little bit about how you were first introduced to the truth about who you really are?
Well, my great-grandmother was a seer for the court of England years and years ago. And she came to this country. She came in a boat and left the court, stowed away in a boat and came to this country. And when we were little, she was very vigorous lady. I mean, anybody that would stay in the bottom of a boat back in that century had to be very strong to get here.
Uh-huh.
And she used her prayer, and when the boat was in a storm, she used her sight to be able to still a storm, and everything went well. And when my cousin and I were small, I come from a very large family, my cousin and I were small, she started teaching us. See, this was something I didn't know, that everybody has sight. Every single living person has sight, Mary. Every child is born with their sight. They come with their word, and they come with their sight. And if their parents don't hit them in the head for saying something that they don't like, which is truth, then they grow up with it. So Grandma was determined that at least two of us were going to learn to use our sight correctly, because there is a wrong way and a right way. Now, the wrong way to use your sight is to use it against people, or to use it or spree it out there.
To give yourself an advantage, maybe, over other people.
Right. Or to spew it out so that everybody knew everything there was about you. If somebody calls me and I listen to them on the phone, I can read their auric field and I know their whole history, but I am not allowed, nor are you, to say anything about that if they don't ask. What they ask for is all you're allowed to talk about. You're not allowed to give them information they're not asking for. The real truth is the information they're asking for in most cases has a long history of how it got there. So when you channel the answer to that, you usually find that there are some bits of wisdom that they don't know that will help them to move forward instead of stay stuck in that place where they're at. And sometimes, Mary, that wisdom is just two simple little words, you know, like be silent or listen to what you are saying and change your thinking, change your words. Instead of finding a fault with something, find something positive, because the only thing that will be answered in your calling from God is what is constructive. Don't wish for somebody to die. Don't wish for somebody to get sick. Just wish that they are out of your life and going on with their life. Let them go on, but don't wish them harm, because you can't do that. It's not, you're the one who's going to be harmed. That's the way it works. Whatever you send out, you're going to get back, so watch out. And if you think you've done something wrong, and in the name of time, take time to ask for forgiveness and forgive yourself for your negative thinking. And you can.
Well, you know, there are times when things pop out of my mouth that make me very uncomfortable. But they turn out to be the right thing to say to the right person. And it's so strange. It's the words that don't mean anything to you that mean something totally different to that person.
Right, right. And that very often happens. And if you feel like you have to say something to someone that is not very comfortable to say, ask them first if they really want that message. Always give them the opportunity to say no. And many times you don't have to give the message. One very important time, I lived in California and had a lot of people in the film industry as clients. And one time a very wonderful client came, asked a question, and I looked right at her and I said, "Do you really want this answer?" And she said, "No." I said, "Good." And I did not have to answer, and I was really grateful, because she actually inside knew the answer and had to make changes to change it. But I just said, "No." I said, "Good. We'll go on to something else." So we went on to
something.
You have the right to do that.
Well, when I was first beginning with seriously work as a healer, because for years I tried my best to convince myself and everybody else that all I was doing was giving good massages, you know. But anyway, I was working in this poor woman who had spurs on every vertebra in her back, and it was terrible. And all of a sudden, my mouth opened up and said, what are you doing with all this fat on you? You're not supposed to be fat. And it was, I was dying of embarrassment, you know. But she said, I know it was a terrible thing they did to me. And I said, who? She said, the doctors. I said, what happened? She said, they gave me a very, very powerful chemical that was supposed to be given to someone two doors down the hall, and I gained 70 pounds in 3 months.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? And she had never, she wouldn't normally even talk about that, but it was important for me to know how to heal her. It was amazing.
Yeah. How could they do that? I mean, that's not even thinking.
No. I don't know. Somebody just stopped in the wrong room.
That's pretty sad. That's one
it
thing
is.
I think is totally wrong. They are working nurses 12 hours. Nurses work hard. They are hardworking people. And at the end of 8 hours, Mary, they are whipped. And why aren't they working 8 hours and going home to get some rest? Because believe me, they work hard and they are wonderful and you can't help but love them. But they are exhausted at the end of 12 hours, totally exhausted. I don't know how they drive home. They're just totally wiped out. People say, well, they didn't do this, but they've got 10 people to take care of, and they're one person. What the heck are we talking about? No,
right.
It's really, really sad that money grabbers are so important to get money that they do stuff that is really hard on people.
Yeah, and some doctors, they're working 20 hours a day.
I know they are. It just doesn't
make sense. This is something about the medical community that I think really has to be changed. And we're healers, and we see all of this, and yet we have no ability to change it.
Well, it has to change with each person. Each person has to decide that they want perfect health. And when they make that decision, the mental process switches, and you begin to do things that make you well. It just turns around. In my case, when I was stabbed 26 times, they gave me, 6 months to a year, maybe 2 years to live. I said, well, I don't have time to fool around with doctors for that. I'll have to call my grandmother and find out what to do. I was only in the hospital a month, but I never went back to the doctor. I called my grandma. She said, call your aunt. Call my aunt. And they said, this is what has to happen. And for 3 years, I laid there just trying to get, and I did get well because I demanded it. I was in perfect health. And I tap my temples laying in that bed every day. I'm in perfect health. I am in perfect health. Yes, I am. And kept it up. And, well, you've seen me, Mary. I don't look like anything ever happened to me.
When no, look, that's true.
They
absolutely
can't
true.
Yeah. And,
it's
and
amazing.
That was, yeah, and that was divine guidance and just doing the things that I needed to do. For instance, I couldn't walk around because I was too weak. So a young doctor came, put me on a trampoline, or round trampoline.
Mm-hmm.
He kept me on that trampoline, and then he got on it every day, and he started with one jump, and at the end of 3 months, we did two. And by the end of 6 months, he was doing six jumps, and I was just sitting there like a bump on a log while he was using that trampoline to get my circulation going good so I would heal.
Oh, wonderful.
I mean, it was amazing.
Pretty amazing.
I couldn't go outside and walk. Well, a lot of other things happened, but I still have a track. I wore out 31 trampolines. One minute on a trampoline, if you don't take your feet off of it, is equal to walking 1 mile. Now,
really?
You cannot get out to go anywhere, folks, Buy a small trampoline. Put sit on it, stand on it. Nowadays I stand on it, and I keep my feet on it, and I bounce myself up and down without taking my feet off. I do it for 8 minutes and sometimes 10 if the phone don't ring. And I do it every day, and I do not have time, not that I wouldn't love to go out and walk around the neighborhood. We live in a beautifully wooded neighborhood. For any of you who have looked at my site, you'll see the beautiful scenery that we have here. But I know every day that the trampoline is under the coffee table, and I can pull it out and get on it. So I have the privilege of getting my 5 miles a day without leaving the house.
Yeah.
And for people who are in dense areas and not really have a good opportunity to get out, a small trampoline would give them that opportunity to get that circulation if they just got it, stood on it. Or now I saw one a while back that had some kind of a attachment where they could hang on to the sides up high. They could put their arms and hang on to the sides. But believe me, I wouldn't be without one. I've had one. When I first was put on it, the doctor put me on it. I've had one ever since, and every day I do my 5 minutes, which is 5 miles. But you have to do it without lifting your feet up. If you lift your feet up, you're bouncing. If you do not lift your feet up, you are lymphocyzing. That means that your lymph system is getting activated. So that's a wonderful thing. I mean, people can use that. That's a simple thing. You know, and I've learned many things in my years of recovery, and I still have to take care of myself. There's still certain things that I can't do that I have to do to take care of myself. So I do them. Otherwise, I wouldn't be
fine.
Yeah.
That is really interesting. Wow. That I never heard of the two different ways to...
And, you know, I do my healings early. Like, I start around 4 in the morning, and I do my healings. They take till about 5:15. And then at night, I have a smaller list. I have lots of people in hospitals or in some serious condition. I put them on an hourly healing, and then I do them again at night. And there are some friends, like, they'll call in, they say, you know, I really need help. I'm financially, I'm strapped. I said, okay, I'll give you a couple of zaps and we'll see what we can do. And the healings are zaps because everybody says, some people call up, like my friend, she'll call up and she say, I'm going to an audition, zap me. Okay, I'll give you a couple of zaps.
That's funny. I've been calling them zaps for years, and I thought I was the only one who did that. How about that, Ada Marie?
Well, it's the easiest way because once you snap your fingers, they go. And for the people on the I have a healing circle that people can join. And then they have 1 hour a month to talk. And that's a big saving for them. So. So. They frequently call and they'll leave a message and I'm doing such and such. If they leave the message, if I get the message, I answer it. I get busy and start doing my homework. But it's a good thing. And one lady called. She said, "I want this job." I said, "You got the job. Stop wanting. No, just know you got it. Stop wanting." So.
Great.
She hung up and 2 days later, she called me, and she said, "They hired me." I said, "Well, that's okay." She said, but you told me to stop it." I said, "Of course. You can't. You just go wanting forever. You have to know."
Wish.
Yeah, wish forever. Wish forever.
And that, then, as long as you're wishing, it doesn't make it happen, does it?
No, you have to know in your heart that this is for you, it works for you, everything about it is correct and something that you can handle. And don't try to do something you can't handle because that will get around like wildfire. So
that's
be honest.
For sure, yeah.
You got to be honest with yourself and with the people. And today is hard.
As usual, you are giving, 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 Miss Ada Marie. And I would like to see if we can help people to know a little bit more about you. Just out of curiosity, when you said you and your cousin were trained by your great grandmother or your grandmother?
No, our great grandmother. She was our great grandmother. She was our mother's grandma. I had a grandma that was my mother's mother, and then my great grandmother lived till I was 15.
Oh my. My great grandmother lived till I was at least 15.
And so we were very lucky. I think the worst thing today is that kids do not have grandparents. That they don't.
They don't get
to spend time with their grandparents, and I think that's the worst thing that can happen, because there's a bonding between grandparents and grandchildren that is second to none. It not only helps the parents, it helps the grandparents as well as the child. And I think it's a very important thing that this bonding take place.
Is your cousin still working as a healer or psychic?
He does some work. He doesn't do as much anymore as he used to. He's had some physical problems of his own, and so he doesn't do as much as he used to. But I did see him in June, and it was wonderful to see him. He looks great I'm 19, but if you turn it around. But I've been 19 a long time, Mary. My kids never knew how old I was.
Really?
Yeah, they don't know. They don't know.
Oh, that's funny. That's very funny. There's an old baseball player named Satchmo Paige that was he was born to in slavery, and so they didn't know when his birthday was. An interviewer asked him, and someone from a newspaper, a reporter, said, "What, doesn't it bother you not knowing how old you are?" And he says, "No." He says, "How old would you be if you didn't know how old you was?"
Right. It's a matter of your thinking. If you're going to think old, you're going to be old. If you're going to think young, you're going to be young. I've been 19 ever since I was 19, which is more than 19 years ago, of course. That's sometimes over. And that's how I feel. And that's the kind of work I do.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That I work like that. I work all the time so that I can be the best that I know how to be in the work I do, because the responsibility of helping people help themselves is one of the most difficult responsibilities in the world, because they're like loose cannons. You never know when they're going to do something stupid. I mean, literally do some dumb thing that could hurt them. But you just have to have faith and know that they will straighten up, that they'll be okay, that their life will go forward in a very positive, happy manner. And that's a good thing. So I really feel like people who feel like nobody loves them don't love themselves. I like me so you can. Okay, I do like me. I like me so you can like me. And if you like me, that's fine. We'll like somebody else. Life isn't one person and another person. It's a world full of people. And it's a world full of wonderful, kind, loving people. And if you want to be in that world, be kind and loving, and you'll draw to you those kind of people. That's what it's about. That's what my grandma said, you know. When you practice to deceive, you destroy your friends.
Why did she leave the court?
Pardon?
Why did she leave the court of the King of England?
Because she didn't like it. She was very much an adventurer, I think. She was you have no idea. She left Chicago, Illinois, and came when they were going to burn the witches. They were burning people at the stake. She came across the prairie, her daughter and her first husband was gone. And in the process of coming across the prairie, she met Mr. Boyd, and she married him. It was just really, she wasn't afraid of nothing. The only thing that she was, the only thing I can think that she was afraid of was that tomorrow was going to be a better day than today.
Honey,
don't worry, tomorrow will be much better. You know, and it's 40 below and the wind's blowing like crazy. Yeah, tomorrow will be much better. It'll only be 50 below and the wind will only be blowing 40 miles an hour. We lived on the prairie. I was born in Montana. We lived on the prairie. And the wind blew across that prairie. Yeah, oh my goodness. Somebody says, never been 75 below. I've been down to the barn with my dad, hanging onto the ropes to get to the barn with a milk pail. And on the barn door was a thermometer. Inside the barn door, it said 75 below. And I was old enough to read it. And Daddy would light the pots. He had smudge pots in the barn to warm the barn up enough to milk the cows.
Oh, my.
And believe me, when I left Montana in 1961, we got over to California by 66, and my son came in the house, and he says, we'd been there about a month, and he come home from school. He says, Mom, we are not going back to Montana. And I said, you can take it to the bank, son, because we are not going back to Montana. I didn't need any more cold weather.
No, I remember. It seemed to me, as I was growing up, it was 10 or 15 below, but we had 90% humidity.
Ooh.
So that was a little bit of a difference, and the winds, you know. I'm sure you had the winds on the prairie. You learned the hard way that you can survive that, but if you have a choice, why not choose?
Well, you know, my sister still lives there in the town we were born in. She don't want to leave. And I'm telling you, I went to see her this summer, and I was so happy to see her, but I said, there's no way. She says, you can come and live with us. I said, honey, I can't take the cold. Every scar I got, and I got about 35 scars on my body. And Mary, it gets cold here, and those scars just talk to me. Believe me, honey, they talk. Scars do not like cold weather. So I said, I couldn't take it, sis. I just couldn't get enough clothes on to keep me warm. And
Well, it seems to me that what I'm getting is that there were not enough people there for you to deal with, and your job was to serve more people than were available in Montana.
Well, there are plenty of people in Montana, but it was too cold for me. I honestly don't, Joan. She must be thinking about me, Mary. Even here, now, it's been down at night to 45, and even then, I have on a heavy nightgown to sleep because, you know, my arm was severed, my right arm, and it's got a scar that runs practically to my elbow, and that thing will throb. I mean, I'm telling you, stick your arm out of the covers, and it won't be a few seconds till you're pulling it back in, and that has gone on, but we lived in California. I lived there for 36 years, and it was wonderful. I rarely ever had to do anything. I mean, I didn't even know I had scars. It was so nice. But we moved here to Arizona, and I'm telling you, it does get cold. Somebody said it never snows in Arizona. Well, it does. It does. And it gets cold. Like the wind was blowing 12 miles an hour yesterday, and it was only 56 degrees, and it was cold. Mm-hmm. I stayed in the house. It was cold mm-hmm. for me. Didn't bother anybody else. But mm-hmm. you know, I've decided in my younger years here to change how I think. I'm not going to go out and put myself in a place where I'm really, really uncomfortable. So I just worked, and I do a lot of work on the phone. People can call me from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. That's it. I sleep from 7:30 until the next morning at 4. So I need that rest, and probably you do too, because people call constantly. And if they leave a number, I will call them back. A name, I need a name and a phone number. I don't want an unidentified person. So
yes, well, that's you can have a hard time trying to track people down. But interesting thing is that you are saying, and I'm hearing you say that being a martyr is not part of the healing game. It is not necessary for you to really for you to wear a hair shirt, as they used to say. And this is so interesting because we're going from outer evidence to inner truth. This to me is kind of interesting because there was a time in history when spiritual people, so-called spiritual people, they would do things that would convince people that they were holy and whatever. And the truth of the matter is that outside evidence is not always the truth.
That's right. But everybody has this healing power within them if they want to be positive. But there are several things you have to quit doing. Like, you know, you don't smoke, you don't drink, you don't watch TV, you don't read the newspaper. You don't get your brain filled with suggestion. And the only reason that I am able to usually open a clear channel is because none of those things impede on me. I don't watch them. I don't work with them. I leave them completely alone. My husband has a room that he watches TV in, and he's the only one in it. Because I am not going to take on suggestion, because I don't want it to clog the channel so the channel isn't correct. Okay, a lady called, their little baby had a heart attack at 18 months old. And the woman called me from the hospital. I called another person to help me. I sent the healing. They sent the healing. We all sent the healing for the baby. Okay? The healing took. The doctors were amazed that this little type with this damage they were able to help and fix. And when the baby was 2.5 years old, they came from New York City, and they came by this little girl, this gorgeous little girl, came. They wanted to meet me, and they met me, and one of the people was in New York, so they couldn't meet them, but they went on to California to meet the other lady. And the woman said, you know, my grandmother always believed in God and always believed in healing, and this proves to me that God does heal. And I said, well, if you ask, you have to ask. You're not going to get anything you don't ask for, so be careful what you ask for. And that was the sweetest thing. And the person who really should have seen him was in New York themselves, so they never got to see the baby. But the three of us banded together and sent the healing, and it took.
Of course, that is wonderful. So what you're doing is I'm hearing it, and I'm sure other people are hearing it, is you take care of yourself so that you can be a pure channel.
Well, first off, to be a healer, you have to heal yourself. You can't be going around sick. You have to heal yourself. That's the first thing. A healer should not be sick, because if they're true and direct healers, they're going to be in perfect health because they're demanding it and they're sending it. How could I send something if I was sick?
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't. Don't you see? And people will call and they'll say, I have to have gallbladder surgery. I say, okay. That's okay. If you want to do that, go right ahead. But if you don't want to do that, there's other things you can do. You won't need the surgery. And so it's like, you know, Mary, it's a person. They have to, how much attention do they want? People who want attention go to the doctor and they go to the hospital just to get attention. That's where they get their attention. They don't get their attention.
Well, wait one second. Let's go back and think about it and say that these are people who want to be fixed.
Yeah. They do.
They are not, they don't, nobody ever told them that they had a choice, that they had responsibility, that they could do something themselves. And this is something that has been brainwashing. You know, there wasn't anything like we call traditional medicine, didn't even exist more than 250 years ago. Because
right.
There were healers were everywhere, and there were healers that worked, and my goodness, if it hadn't been for healers, I wonder if they would have been a human race. But when people took the responsibility to go and to listen and instructions. I mean, this was important. We brought something up really, really vitally important here, I think.
Well, I wrote a book on healing from when I was a kid that my grandparents, my great grandparents, and the people that came here from Europe used. 62 pages that book is, and I said, look, people came across the. They came across the country in covered wagons. They didn't have doctors. They had mothers and grandmothers who knew what to do to help them. And they
right.
weren't filled with food that was poisoned before they ever ate it. I said, we didn't have that. It was all fresh. You picked it.
Yeah.
You cooked it.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
So I still believe I cook everything from scratch, just like, you know, my mother did, and I feed my husband. And when he went to the doctor to have the hernia taken out, they said, "Bring your list of medicine." He said, "I don't take any." They didn't believe it.
I know.
He said, "I don't have it. I don't have any." So they gave him some blood pressure medicine. He never opened the box. He never opened
sure.
it. He never opened it. When he went to have his surgery, he took it with him and gave it back to him. They wouldn't take it. But, I mean, they couldn't believe that he didn't take medicine. Everybody takes medicine. Well, that's not true.
No, it isn't. That's right.
No. And they don't.
I have a friend who's on blood pressure medicine, and they tell her she can't eat grapefruit because grapefruit lowers your blood pressure, and so it would throw their medicine off.
So why aren't you taking grapefruit instead of the medicine? I mean, really?
That's what I asked her, you know. I said, eat the grapefruit and just cut back on your medicine.
Just cut it out completely. That's ridiculous.
I know. It's so strange. Because they've gotten it all very scientific.
Yeah, but every individual living is an individual person with an individual background and an individual set of things that they believe in. Now, if I happen to be Norwegian and Irish, okay? And and my mother had a temper that wouldn't quit. And my father was so stubborn that, you know, the sun wouldn't come up.
Yes.
when we were told so, something, we believed it.
Uh-huh.
Because that's the way it was. So when we grew up, you know, we were well disciplined. I mean, we didn't do anything screwball-y. And,
sure.
Because we had got caught. Everybody in town was related to us.
So, okay.
My sister and I went to the movies. I was 14, 15, I guess. And we went to the movies, and we're sitting there, and here comes a policeman down the aisle of the movie, in the middle of the movie, a little bit into it, and goes like, she says, I think he's coming for us. So he was coming for us. My dad sent him to take us out of that movie and get us home.
Oh,
so,
for heaven's sakes, really?
Really, you didn't do anything that was not acceptable, and movies, in my dad's eye, were not acceptable. They were a waste of time and a waste of money, and it was a whole dime, and I earned a dime myself. But it didn't make any difference. We didn't belong in the movie house. Those were things that I grew up with, so I don't have a lot of knowledge about playing. Like, you know, kids play, they skate, they do all this stuff, and I never learned any of those things. Learned to milk a cow, learned to pitch hay, learned to clean the barn, learned to cook, learned to sew. And those were the things, those were what we were taught. So I guess our society would be quite different if everybody was raised the same. And they shouldn't be. Everybody should be raised according to what their parents and grandparents knew so they could carry on that heritage. I think that's an important thing. I think it's really important. So I see people do things, and I'm always amazed. I'm always surprised at things people can do, Mary. And I think, well, they were just had a different upbringing, that's all. And it was good.
Yeah, I think so too, because if everyone thought the same way, it would be a very boring world.
Not only that, there would be no movement forward. There would be no progression of things. There would be no scientists. There would be no special people with special knowledge to share. That can't happen. We have to have everybody doing what they do because of how they're raised and taught and the things they can do. Now, what has happened is after the war and the mothers were working, a lot of the children ended up on drugs because there was nobody there to talk to them, to help them, to train them. So we've got a world full of drugs. I mean, terrible. But, you know, if they're not taking something they shouldn't, they're taking something the doctor gave them, which they shouldn't either. So what?
Well, that is the scariest part of all, because the biggest drug problem we have in this country is prescription drugs.
That's right.
It's much worse. It's much worse than the illegal kind from Mexico or Colombia, wherever.
Wherever it comes from, I don't know, but you know,
it
really is. So it's a catch-22. Who's gonna wake up and know that what they're doing is the wrong thing to do? And how long is it gonna take them to wake up and realize that? And they might not ever.
There's something else that occurs to me is that you can't just tell somebody not to do something. It's you almost need to give them something better to do instead.
You know, you have to. When I was little, I used to say to my dad, someday they're going to make a thing that milks cows. Just put milk in that bucket, sis. And then I'd be in the house and say, well, someday they're going to make a thing that washes dishes. Okay. Well, just keep washing. You know, that's okay. Someday they're going to make something that washes clothes. No, that's not going to happen. But that's okay. Someday. Well, we got everything. I used to tell him all this stuff, and now I got it all. I got a dishwasher.
Yeah.
I got a washer, I got a dryer, I got an ironer. I mean, honestly, Mary, everything that I dreamed about, they made. So I think God really blessed me. I mean, we got a light to turn on. All we have to do is touch them, they come right on. We didn't have running water and we didn't have lights. Dad said, well, you do have running water. You run out and get it and you bring it in and you carry it out and throw it out. Because on the prairie, until the TVA, Tennessee Valley Authority, came in with electricity in that part of Montana, there wasn't any.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't any there. We were on the prairie and there wasn't any. It just is, but all these things, when you think about those years and this year, and here we are on the phone, and my dishwasher's running, my fryer's running. I mean, come on. How wonderful is that?
Which gives you more time to get messages from Spirit and to take care of the people that you serve.
Right, and to answer the phone and to do these shows, which I hope are helpful for people. If they even glean a little bit of knowledge, it's good, because that knowledge will stand them in good stead always, always.
I think the important thing is that you do not have to go through the kind of things that we went through when we were kids. I almost froze to death when I was six, but it isn't necessary. But what it does is it gives you a whole different perspective. And many, many, many people growing up today have never really had any kind of physical problems like we have gone through. And
right.
yet they have more problems because the things that they worry about that they're subjected to and that they can't do anything about are quite different. I mean, first of all, we had so-called normal things. The energy, the cold, the heat, having to get food, planting food in the backyard, whatever, you know, and
right.
Taking care of crops and that sort of thing. Well, you do that in order to be ready to work with spiritual things, but there are certain things that I feel that is important, and one of the most important things is to be able to listen. And I'm also very concerned that our children growing up today don't have time to daydream.
They don't. And they don't have time for silence. And they need that time for silence, because silence is golden. When my grandmother was teaching us certain steps to do, like apport ourselves or move a chair with our hands, it was in silence that we learned that, in sitting in absolute silence and being able to sit silently and not think, to keep the silence, the golden silence, which means that there's no thought in your head. Your head is empty. You have no thought in your head. And many people that come to me and become my clients, I teach them those things so that they can learn to go into the silence. And that means don't think. Don't hold any thought, just be silent, and there is a way to learn how to do that. And once they learn how to do that, a lot of the negativity drops away. They don't have a problem, but you have to learn to be in the silence, and that's what makes it happen.
So there you've given a wonderful gem for the world to listen to and to think about. And I believe that the wealth that is within us is so enormous and so powerful, and many people don't listen to it because they are distracted by all of these things. They haven't learned to let their mind wander while they're doing simple things.
Yeah, to be silent and receive simple messages, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You could be driving down the street and all of a sudden a voice says, stop here. Well,
yes.
If the voice comes to you to stop here. I was on the street one day with a lady, and I said, and I heard the voice say, stop at the Golden Goose. And I said, we're going to stop at the Golden Goose. And she said, why? I said, I don't know. I was just told to stop there. And we did. And we got out of the car. And as we were walking in, there was a couch that she'd been looking for over a year, was sitting right there. And I walked right in the door. I walked around the corner. I sat down on that couch, and I said to the man, we just bought this couch. And he said, what? I said, we just bought this couch. And he said, you did? I said, yeah, it's sold. And as I was sitting there, two other women come in, and they said, how much is that couch? And he said, well, I just sold it. But, I mean, I was minutes before it got sold to somebody else. And I didn't know why we were stopping there. And she wanted that couch, and I had searched everywhere and never saw it. And then she was with me. I saw it. We got it. She took it home. It was great. But see, you never know when the voice is going to tell you something. One time, this is a person who was a star long ago, was in a soda shop and said something told her to go buy a Coke. And she says she really didn't want a Coke. But she went in there anyway, and she got up to the counter and bought a Coke, and guess what? She became a famous movie star. Somebody picked her out and made her a movie star. So that was 40, 50 years ago, maybe 60 years ago now. But you see, you never know what the voice is going to tell you to do. You just don't know.
No, you really don't.
You know, if people would learn to listen to the voice, their life could become a lot simpler. So there you go.
So listening is very, very important.
You got to listen. That's important.
Next thing you have to do is to act upon what you hear.
Yeah, act on what you're given. Right. That is true. Right. Are we running out of time, Mary?
Well, we have about almost 3 minutes left.
Okay, good. Because I want to thank people for listening, and I want to thank them for any of the messages that has helped them that they have written down and will use. Because that is the whole premise of this show, is that people will get information that they can use to make their life better. I really believe that. And I really believe, Mary, that you do a wonderful job in preparing that. So I think it's important that people really, really, really are able to listen, are able to take the information and to put it to good use. That's what the show is about, and we are grateful for your listening. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
So, yes, I do believe, would you give any kind of an idea of how many people will hear things different ways? I mean, I've had some silly things happen to me, like I was in a grocery store and my hand shot out and picked up a stupid bottle of pickles. And I hate sweet pickles. And I'm looking at these pickles, saying, "Where have I got this in my hand?" And I just stuck it in my basket. And when I came home, my roommate said, "You got my pickles, you got my pickles. I forgot to tell you to get pickles." So it's funny.
You got the right ones.
I got the right brand. I mean, my hand just went out and picked it up. And I'm looking, I say, "Why am I holding this pickle?" Oh, well.
It's amazing.
It really is. So we have about 1 minute for you to say anything that you would like to our audience.
Well, I want to say thank you to you, because it's wonderful to be on this show with you and discuss everyday things that people might find helpful to them. I enjoy that, Mary. I do. So I thank you, thank you, thank you, and I thank everybody who's listening, and I'm hoping that we have been helpful in some form. Okay?
Well, Ada Marie, you are a blessing, and I know there are many, many, many people who agree with me, And I just would like you to keep on doing what you're doing, but it's because it seems to be working.
Well,
and
only,
I would,
it's
yeah,
all I have left
I would,
to do, Mary. It's just like you. You are doing the best job you can, and it's a wonderful job, and thank God you're still doing it.
Okay. And I do want to send love and light and all kinds of blessings to everyone who's listening in and everyone who will be listening in. Bye-bye.
Thank you, and I send the same love and light. God bless you all. Amen.
Okay.